New moves for a very old economic problem.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. Japan's central bank is getting aggressive. Today it launched a sweeping bond buying program to pump money into the sluggish economy. Traders there like what they see. BBC Tokyo correspondent Rupert Wingfield Hayes joins us. Hello, Rupert.
Hello, Mark.
So put all this in context. Just how strong of a move is this?
Well, it's certainly seen as being a radical shift for what was considered to be a very conservative central bank. The Bank of Japan has been very reluctant to carry out aggressive monetary easing up until now, although many have recommended that it should. Now it has a new governor who has come in with the specific intent of radically changing the bank's culture to be much more interventionist and take a much more aggressive role in stimulating the Japanese economy. This has been their first meeting. They've come out of it today. And I think everybody here has been quite surprised at just how successful he has been in persuading the Bank of Japan to change its mind and to go for very aggressive monetary easing.
Japan's economic troubles are not new. These problems have been around for decades. When you actually talk to people in Tokyo, are they hopeful? Do they believe that things can change, or are they just more resigned to muddle through?
People here are really, I think, a mixture of a little bit cynical because they've heard it all before and hopeful as well that something can change. Prices have been falling, wages have been falling. People are sick and tired of living in a country that just seems to stagnate a little bit more every year. So they are hopeful that this will work, but a lot of people also think, Not sure it can really change.
Okay, we have seen the market reaction, and we'll see how that plays out in the coming days. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo. Thank you.
Thank you.
A new report in the New England Journal of Medicine says America spends more on treating dementia than any other disease, even cancer. Annual treatment spending tops $100 billion, plus up to $100 billion in additional care costs. From the health desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
When you think about what dementia does to people, it carves away their ability to care for themselves. RAND economist Michael Hurd authored the study, and he says it's no mystery why we spend more treating this disease than any other.
The big cost is the cost for nursing homes, and nursing homes cost a lot.
Hurd says nursing homes and in-home care make up at least 75% of all spending. About 4 million Americans suffer from some form of dementia today. By 2040, that number is expected to reach 9 million.
The message is we need to do some science.
Drug companies like Eli Lilly and Pfizer are trying, but IHS analyst Gustav Ando says so far, no dice.
Company executives will kind of sit there and wonder, well, you know, if Pfizer couldn't do this or Lilly couldn't do this, then why on earth should we, you know, enter this area?
Several drugs are in early trials, but analysts say viability is likely years away. Meanwhile, the financial and emotional costs continue to grow. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Today, Facebook is expected to roll out a new smartphone running Android. Tech analyst Jeff Kagan says it's part of a plan to find new revenue through the phones where people are increasingly doing their social networking.
Facebook wants to continue to grow. They want to continue to be bigger than ever. But they need something to tie it all together. And mobile might be that magic sauce.
Other than magic sauce recipes, CEO Mark Zuckerberg is also said to be planning a nonprofit to push immigration and education issues. In 2010, he gave $100 million to Newark, New Jersey schools. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is there to see what that money's doing.
You know what? First grade, come sit on the road.
Joan Rutherford's first graders at Pishine Elementary School start class by drawing constellations.
Let's see who has control and focus,
girls.
If you're looking for Mark Zuckerberg's money, you're not going to find it in the fancy projector, the computers, or the school supplies in this classroom.
In some ways, it's less tangible, but in many ways, it's a lot more systemic and a lot longer lasting.
Cami Anderson is superintendent of Newark Public Schools. She says Zuckerberg's money isn't buying things. It's changing how things are done.
The most significant from our standpoint has been the support that he and other philanthropists gave to achieve a breakthrough labor contract with the Newark Teachers Union.
Yes, a labor contract. $50 million helped broker an agreement with the union to accept a new teacher evaluation system and pay based on performance. Kim McLean heads the Foundation for Newark's Future. That's the group in charge of doling out Zuckerberg's money.
One of the things that we firmly believe in order to have a really good educational system, it starts with the teacher in the classroom.
Zuckerberg's gift has also been used to help open several new schools, including charter schools, and to create a centralized system for tracking student progress. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone in Newark is toasting the founder of Facebook.
It's an agenda about which I have serious doubts.
Paul Trachtenberg founded the Institute on Education, Law, and Policy at Rutgers. He disagrees with the new approach.
You know, weaken collective bargaining, it's weaken job security of teachers, it's hold teachers accountable based in significant part on standardized test scores.
But Superintendent Cami Anderson says Newark's underperforming schools need bold ideas.
Private philanthropy can be a critical catalyst to remove systemic barriers that the system, frankly, isn't set up to move because, in essence, the system is the problem at times.
So let's see who
what these changes will mean for the first graders in Ms. Rutherford's class? Well, like any investment, the returns aren't instant. In Newark, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And finally, there's an odd crime wave in the forests of Maine. Rangers say more and more thieves are taking sap from maple trees. The rogue tappers can boil it down to maple syrup, which can sell for $50 a gallon or more. Landowners rely on these trees to pay their bills. Sap stealers drain their income and, in some cases, permanently damage valuable trees. Maine is behind only Vermont in maple syrup production, the legal kind at least. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.